Father God, we thank you so much that you speak to us so clearly and powerfully in your word and by your spirit. May you bring truth home to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please take a seat. And why don't you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We're on page 979 in the Pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 7. And we are going to be reading from verse 15 of Matthew chapter 7. So let me read that out. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thorn bushes? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Well, I was chatting to my dad, it was a little while ago, and he was telling me about a conversation he was having with Uncle Peter. Uncle Peter lives out towards Llanelli Way, and he's in his 90s. My dad's in his 70s, and they were chatting about what happens after you die. And Uncle Peter said very confidently, he said, look, I'll be all right when I die and meet God because my local chapel minister told me I'm a good person. Now, Uncle Peter is a dearly loved person. He's had done some amazing achievements. He's the oldest surviving Welsh rugby cap. He played for Wales a number of times after the Second World War on the wing. I've been the beneficiary of that. Every ex-Welsh international gets a free home ticket for every rugby game. And I've got to see some great internationals because of him. He played for Llanelli for many years. He was club captain, where he's been involved ever since. But I wonder, what do you make of what that chapel minister said to Uncle Peter? You'll be all right when you meet God because you've been a good person. Well, do you know what Jesus would say from today's passage? He would say, wolf. He would say that minister is a wolf. See, in 15 to 20, Jesus says, beware of the big bad wolf. Have a look at verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who will come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Don't know if you've picked up in the news, they're thinking about reintroducing wolves up in the highlands of Scotland. And who are the people who don't want the wolves to come? It's the farmers. And there's a reason why there are no wolves up there. 300 years ago, the farmers had them all culled so that their sheep would not be ravaged. You see, the thing a wolf loves nothing more but the blood of sheep. Insatiable. Jesus says there will be prophets, there will be ministers who are ravenous wolves, who will see people in their congregations or their diocese and will not see them as people to serve and pray for, but people that they can use to their own sinful desires, not actually caring for their eternal state of their soul, but wanting them to serve their own sinful purposes now. That sounds bad, Jesus, doesn't it? We don't want to listen to those sorts of people, but how do we know who they are? Well, Jesus says they will wear a dog collar. They may even have a cross around their neck. They may even wear a bishop's mitre, or in my church background, they may even have a big black Bible they like to hit. In other words, he says, they will look just like sheep. They will look like they should do, which is why we need to be warned. Jesus is saying there are big, bad wolves that won't look at first glance like wolves. The fact that someone is a minister or has a large church doesn't mean they actually will teach you what will save you. How do you spot them? Well, I think there are two things that Jesus says in 15 to 20. One's implicit, one's explicit. The first one is implicit. Look at verse 15. Beware of the false prophets. It's implicit. It's what they teach. See, if you'd been here last week, they won't tell you the way to eternal life is narrow. You know, last week you heard that, didn't you? There's a narrow way and a broad way, but there'll be nothing narrow about what they teach. You know, you'll be all right if you're good enough, as long as you're not a murderer. You'll be all right as long as you only sleep with someone who you're committed to in a long-term relationship. You'll be all right on that day when you meet God. Whereas Jesus says it's narrow. He's been saying it's narrow all the way through the Sermon on the Mount. He doesn't say, don't just murder. He says, even if you think in your head, I can't stand that person, I want to nut them. Maybe that's only the sort of thing we think in Worcester. Or if you think lustfully about someone else, lustful thoughts, Jesus says you've committed adultery. He says the entrance is narrow, the bar is high. And you need to realize you're not good enough, and you need to have the humility to cry out to God for mercy. See, Jesus says it's what they teach, but it's not just what they teach, it's their lives. Have a look at verse 16. You'll recognize them by their fruits. He says you'll know them by the fruit of their lives. The true desires of their hearts will be shown in the way they live. Have a look at verse 16 again. You'll recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thorn bushes? Now, they would have known exactly what he was talking about here. Often they would have walked home at the end of the day from work, and they would have looked down, and on the ground they might have thought, there is a juicy fig. Oh, I'm going to have some fig soup when I get home, or some roast fig. And they would have gone over to look and realize it is in fact a flower from a distance that looked like a fig. There was apparently a thistle which produced a flower that looked like a fig. Jesus is saying here, don't just watch what they say, but watch how they live. Get up close. Is there a growing humility and dependence upon God? Is there an integrity in their home life? Are they generous hearted? Are they people who are growing to love Jesus and increasingly depend on him? Or are they all about themselves when you get up close? Are they only all about their own popularity or their own power or their own desire to manipulate you? Verse 20, Jesus says, you will recognize them by their fruits. I wonder, have you heard Jesus' warning? Are you aware that who you listen to really matters? See, what will happen to these false prophets or teachers? Have a look at verse 19. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. See, that is what will happen to them, and probably along with those who have listened to their teaching. If that's what they're teaching and that's what will happen to them, then that's what will happen to those who have been sucked in by what they taught. Don't be the person who gets to judgment day and is thrown into the fire because they listen to the wrong person. They weren't discerning. See, Jesus says, be warned. The dog collar does not guarantee that the person you are listening to is not a wolf. I guess the question is, who does pass the fruit test? who does pass the fruit test? And first and foremost, it's Jesus. You know, he's not just a sheep in sheep's clothing. He's the shepherd. He's all, just one chapter ago, he said to them, "You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And then what does Jesus do? What's the fruit of his life as he is on the cross? He prays for those who are murdering him. Now there's integrity, isn't there? There's astonishing fruit that demands we listen. But who should we listen to today? Well, it's the minister who will give you Jesus from his word. Even when what Jesus says is uncomfortable or challenging. And I guess it is the minister whose life has integrity that backs it up. Not perfect. No one is Jesus, but has integrity. You know, I wonder, do you realize you have that sort of minister in an Aaron? Do you know, I've known an Aaron for 20 years this year. And when I was a student at Exeter, he worked for a church in Exeter. And he used to come and meet and study the Bible with me. Now, there's one thing I could never quite get over. An Aaron was amazing at maths. I did one module in my computer science degree, which was a maths module. And do you know what? I was awful, and an Aaron wouldn't help me. He wouldn't help me with my maths, and I ended up getting a pass in that module. I was so bad, not even a third. Thanks, Aaron, for that. But I've known him for all these years. And actually, here is a man who you can say he's genuinely humble. He's genuinely dependent. There is genuine fruit. In fact, I could say, apart from my parents and my brothers and my wife, he's probably one of the people who's had the most influence on my Christian life. You are very blessed to have him here. Listen as he points you to Jesus. He's going to hate me for saying all that. See, Jesus says, beware of the big bad wolf. But in the second little section there, in 21 to 23, he also says, beware of the day of division. See, Jesus here gets us to look forward. And I don't know what you're looking forward to. I was looking forward to the rest of the Six Nations. I'm not so much now. But he says, look forward to the day of judgment. And that is a day when all of humanity will be separated into two groups. And in 21 to 23, he warns us, that'll be a day when many people who expect to enter heaven won't. And they're the sort of people you would look at and think they are definitely in. Have a look at verse 22. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Verse 22. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now this, it's actually pretty shocking. It's a little bit unnerving, and that's because Jesus is wanting to shock us and unnerve us. These are people who look like sheep. And they're not just any sheep. They are really impressive sheep. They are preachers that people listen to. They've demonstrated spiritual power, casting out demons and doing things that people say, wow! It's all in Jesus' name. They are people that look like they should be in. But they're not. If there are questions about people like that, then I guess there'll be questions like people like us. people who go to church because it's the right thing to do, or who are faithfully there, who know the words to Bread of Heaven, who maybe even speak the language of heaven, Welsh. Jesus says, well, look, why have these people, why don't these people get in? Have a look at verse 23 again. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Why do these people not get into the kingdom of heaven? They were never known by Jesus. See, the person who enters the kingdom of heaven knows the reason they are getting there is not because they've been a minister in a church in Worcester, or their uncle played for Wales, or they've been a pretty good person. The person who enters the kingdom of heaven is the person that Jesus has had mercy on. In chapter 8, just after the Sermon on the Mount, there is a leper who comes before Jesus and cries out for mercy. He says, Lord, make me clean. And Jesus says, I will be clean. I will make you clean. You see, the person Jesus knows is the person who has come to Jesus and said, make me clean. Forgive my sins. Forgive the wrong things in my life. See, the person who has done that, the person who has lived in the light of that, he will never turn away. See, verse 21 back in chapter 7, the will of the Father in heaven, the person who enters, who does the will of the Father in heaven, is the person who has cried out to Jesus for mercy. See, we are saved by trusting him, not by clinging on to the impressive things we do. Now, as I said at the start, we have three girls. Tilly is 6, Betsy is 3, and Vivi, who was, I was expecting to be a boy, but turned out to be a girl. I was shocked, I tell you, when the baby came out, was 1. Now, life at home is mad, and I was putting them all in the car a few weeks ago, and if you imagine, the car seats are all sort of rammed in, and we were trying to get out to the school run, and we were pushing the belts in, and I had to go and get stuff out of the house, and I came back into the car, and Betsy, our 3-year-old, I turned the engine on, and she started laughing and saying, Daddy, you silly. Now, I know I'm silly, but she said, Daddy, you silly. And I said, what's the matter? She said, Daddy, you haven't put my seatbelt in. And I looked in the mirror, and the seatbelt was over her. And I'd put my hand in, I hadn't actually clicked it in properly. Now, it was kind of funny when we were sat there. But it would not have been funny if we'd had an accident. You see, she needed her belt put in for the moment if there had been an accident. See, Jesus is warning us here. He says, you may look safe. You sit here and you come to church Sunday by Sunday. How many people can say they do that? But is the belt actually clicked in? Have you actually cried out to Jesus for mercy? Because there is a day when you will meet him. And you could not want to hear the worst words anyone could ever hear. I never knew you. Depart from me. Excluded from heaven. Heading to eternal judgment. Do you know, I was thinking about my Uncle Peter. As I've been studying this, I've been thinking about my Uncle Peter. And he's not heard the warning of Jesus, beware of the wolf. He is not ready for that day of division. Don't make his mistake. About 15 years ago, I was in the grounds of Maesabont. It's near Carmarthen. It was a beautiful day. The sun was out. It was picturesque. There were rolling hills, green hills. And it was the day we were burying my mum's mum, Mam Gee. in the grounds of this chapel that my great-grandfather built, Richard Perkins. Do you know why he built this chapel back in 1920s? It's because he had cried out to Jesus for mercy. He had clipped the seatbelt in. And he went to his local Calvinist Methodist church. And he said, look, we can be sure of our salvation. And the minister said, you can never be sure of your salvation. And so he said, right. Well, we need to tell people this truth. And so they took this plot of ground. And him and his brother, they built Meisterbont. And they preached this hope they found in Jesus. And that is the wonderful hope that Mamgi and Tadki found. And as we were burying them there in the rolling hills, the sun was out, as we were burying Mamgi on top of Tadki, I was thinking, that is not their final resting place. They will enter the kingdom of heaven, not because of anything spectacular they have done, but because of Jesus' mercy. I wonder, do you know the hope that Jesus offers? Have you cried out to Jesus for mercy? Are you known by him, and do you know him? Or maybe we need to do that today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, thank you so much that Jesus is clear, and he is so decisively clear. We need to be careful who we listen to. We pray that we will listen to those who seek to honor Christ and honor his truth in his word. And Father, as we think of that final day, the day we stand before you, may we all here be found in Christ, trusting him, having clipped our seatbelts in, having cried out to him for mercy, that we might have the hope he longs to give us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.